There will be no rebirth after this one. This is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel, Fox, well, now Disney, Dark Phoenix movie, X-Men movie. I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us, the Bennett Brothers, as we do the Bennett Brothers podcast, where we're going to talk about the latest X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix. We're going to spoil the heck out of it, so if you haven't seen it and don't want to get spoiled, go see it, come back, and then give us a listen. If you want to join in the conversation, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us an email at BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at Bennett Bros Pod. Also go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com. There you can get all of our previous podcasts. We do podcasts on mostly the Marvel Cinematic Universe, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to all the Netflix shows to the movies to all things thereabouts.
We did do the last two X-Men movies plus the Wolverine.
And Deadpool.
And Deadpool 1 and 2.
Which are X-Men movies.
Yes, they are. I'm trying to think if we've done it. And we did the first season of Legion.
Which is not in this world. And we did the first season of Gifted.
Shut up. Don't ever mention that
Wow,
again.
We've done a lot of bad stuff. Legion was great. Good, though, the first season was. Anyways, go there and you can listen to all of our previous podcasts. And that's an exciting place for you to learn all about us and our history. Awesome. Go to Bennett Brothers. Also, go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. There you can become a patron and get some exclusive mini casts, which are exclusive for people to become patrons. And
some
become
X-Men related ones up there.
Some to become a patron, all you got to do is donate something, a limb, some candy, but money is preferable. We'll take that too. Anything, it just helps us out here, and that's always nice to have help. I guess I don't know where I'm going with this.
And that's the end of that.
That's the end of that. Thank you for joining the Bennett Brothers podcast.
All right, we're going to talk about this movie. We're obviously coming a little bit late to the game on that, but it's actually giving us a better perspective. We're at least getting out before it's gone from the theaters. Hopefully I'll get it out before it comes from the theaters. And I'm sorry, it's over with. Sorry,
oh,
gone
we
from
missed
the theaters.
It.
Just yes, missed this it. Movie, the, I want to say 16th episode. No, it's been 16 years. This has been, there's been quite a few. There's three,
it's been a lot.
Seven, eight, nine, 10. This is like the 11th. That's me guessing right off the top.
11, 12, 12. X-Men movie, Logan, counting Logan. The Deadpool movies.
Yeah, you got to count them. Okay. You got to count them. And so this was a movie. I went into this movie with low expectations. The history of me with the franchise is, the first one was incredible. The second one was really good. The third one was disappointing. The Origins was disappointing. First Class was fantastic.
The Wolverine.
No, that doesn't come until after.
That comes after First Class?
Yeah.
The Wolverine?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Oh.
It actually comes after, it comes after First Class, then The Wolverine, which was pretty good. Then, obviously, Days of Future Past was really good. Apocalypse, which I just re-watched most of that, too. And the special effects and stuff in that are great. The Quicksilver scene is incredible, but it is not a good movie. And then you got Logan was okay. So that's my history of it. And so I've had lots of ups and downs with the X-Men. I've been reading the X-Men forever. And my opinion of this movie, Joel, was, I was underwhelmed, but there are parts of it that I thought were cool. What about you?
So I saw this at the drive-in. So I saw an awesome double bill of Toy Story 4 and this, which was a great double bill. I really like this movie. So as a middle-of-the-road X-Men movie, I think this is better than Apocalypse. I think this movie has a rewatchability to it that I'm looking forward to seeing it again, as opposed to some of the other ones. I did not have that. I think they tried some things. I think they succeeded in some things. I think they failed in some things. And it's funny because this movie, it does things that I wanted the X-Men movie to do, but it also does things like I don't know why they did it. For instance, you know, Jennifer Lawrence playing Mystique. I've never been a huge fan of Mystique. And they got rid of Mystique. They bring her in, they kill her off. Oh, big stakes and all that. All right, so I don't have to follow the Raven show. I don't know why they call her Raven, but
that's her name.
Yeah, I know. But I don't have to follow the Mystique show, which is fine because her character is never one of those characters that interests me. I'm like, oh, great, she's not in this. That's
fine. That's an entire character arc that if this was not based on a property, mm-hmm. then it would be a natural progression.
Sure.
Especially, and it's an unnatural progression because it started an unknown person who went on to become a superstar. So consequently, that character stepped up in prominence, which in the books it never does. But this was the evolution of it.
Sure.
And so it felt wrong in some respects. But if you can step aside from that Yeah, it still wasn't
fun right. Little fact, Jennifer Lawrence is now older than Rebecca Romijn Stamos when she did Mystique back in the...
That's interesting.
Isn't that? Yeah, well, you wouldn't think that, like, but that's the way it is now.
Yeah, her death was kind of like, okay. She doesn't want to be there, and she surely did not want to put the blue paint on again.
It should have done more, but it didn't. But you would think, like, okay, she's not there, so we can focus on things. But this movie could have been better, but for what it was missing, it was a good movie, right? No Wolverine, which that's our favorite X-Men character. He's not in the movie. So the movie, if it had Wolverine in it, not even have to be, you know, Hugh Jackman. If it had Wolverine in it, it would have probably been a better movie.
Quicksilver. So you're saying Apocalypse is better because he's in it?
No, I'm saying, like, if the fact that he wasn't in it didn't hurt the movie is
okay.
What I'm saying.
Okay.
Quicksilver, one of the most interesting, fun characters they've had in the past two X-Men movies.
It's probably really expensive to do.
I know, but he's barely in the movie, and I'm like, holy smokes.
It's weird how they just, why
would you get rid of one of the most, like, one of your biggest characters, one of the biggest names to come, the name that beat Marvel. You beat Marvel with Quicksilver. Beat him. Like, the Marvel's Quicksilver is not nearly as good as the X-Men's Quicksilver.
Oh, that's
the way they're portrayed.
We'll see. But the thing is, I think because it's kind of like they had to Xavier him. He was so fast and incredibly powerful. They had mm-hmm. to take him out of the movie. The way they took Xavier out of the first all of the movies. They take him out of the movie. They don't know how to write it. They don't have a good way to do it. So they're like, we've already established in the second movie that he was able to save everybody except for Banshee. Instantly. He saved the entire school during an explosion scene. So once you show that kind of power, you're like, oh, well,
they did a good job in this of Dark Phoenix just like moving the things.
Did you get a vibe of Justice League during that moment?
Oh, yeah. It's great. And then, you know, the other thing this movie severely lacked, but I don't think it hurt it, was it lacked a sense of humor. And you get that sense of humor from Quicksilver usually. After Quicksilver leaves, it is dead serious the whole movie. There's nothing until Quicksilver comes back at the end and he makes a quip about slow down. Don't run so fast. Nobody has humor in this movie. And it's just like, I wonder if that...
That's a really good point. But it does make it a movie somber.
Would it have made the movie better to have a little bit more...
Yeah, probably.
Something.
Probably.
Character to
not,
it.
Not comedy, but just humor.
So I appreciate what this movie was trying to do. This movie's trying to bring an end to this X-Men class. The first class X-Men. Trying to wrap up these storylines. And, you know, you have Hank and Professor Xavier, the last two of the first class. I mean, not counting Magneto. You know, you're trying to wrap up some of these storylines, and they do a good job of that. I just don't feel like this movie had the same emotional gravitas that Days of Future Past did. When Days of Future Past ends, there's an emotional catharsis that goes with it. I felt like that was the end of our old X-Men, and it was really, it's emotional, it's powerful, and I really appreciate it. That's why I think Days of Future Past is one of my favorite X-Men movies, because it does such a good job ending something, ending an era. This, unfortunately, does not. I do enjoy the ending when they're about to play chess. I think that's really iconic. I think it works, but overall, I didn't walk away.
It was designed as an ending.
It was designed as an ending.
Though. No, they were going to make this as two films.
No, the director wanted to. He cut out a ton of stuff from the Dark Phoenix because he realized he had to sort of wrap up the X-Men.
But it was it was going to be two films, and this was before the Disney deal when this was all going through. So it wasn't really. It became an ending through the process, but it wasn't designed that way.
Maybe
you've heard about the two film issue, right? Mm-hmm. The fact there was going to be two full films and everything.
Yeah, and I don't know if that would have helped it or hurt it, to be honest. Because I do feel it was a short movie. I got done and went, wow, it was a pretty quick movie. Which is a good sign sometimes when things fly by, but it didn't necessarily have the weight and the emotion and the story and everything that goes into a great movie. That being said, I also think that, let me get your opinion on this. Marvel movies, because those are the benchmark now.
Not The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight movies are great, but Marvel movies are the benchmark right now. Has Marvel done, so outside of the Avengers, okay, I guess they have. Guardians of the Galaxy, that's a great team movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great team movie, and the Avengers movies are in another league of their own. These X-Men movies, they're team movies, right? They have to be. They're not individual, there's individual storylines, but they're team movies.
Yeah.
Does that hurt or help in a superhero movie, do you think?
It's all coming down to the writing. I mean, you know, again, I'm a team book guy. That would be the books I would be reading. That's why I love the X-Men, because even if you don't like this character too much, don't worry, there's going to be another character, there's going to be six more you do like. And that was the appeal from the very get-go. Obviously, the movies realized, let's put it all on the most popular character, which, again, he's my favorite. He was my favorite character too. So I was kind of like, I get it. Wolverine was not designed as the pinnacle character in the book. He was this outside guy who, through great writing over years, became that way. You know, you couldn't market the way they did it. You know, it just happened. Mm-hmm. And so, you talked about Guardians of the Galaxy, Justice League.
League is not considered like. I wouldn't put that as like that's a great team movie. Like no. it's a flawed movie.
I'm a team guy though. I'm a team guy.
I am too, but like, I'm trying to think of like modern superhero movies that do the team thing right. And I can only think of Guardians of the Galaxy where.
Then give me examples where it's done wrong.
We haven't had that many examples. X-Men are the one examples of.
Well, I actually have ones that you would agree with, but I'm not going to mention. Suicide Squad.
I don't think that was a great movie.
I know you don't. I actually like that movie, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but that's not a great movie.
Oh no,
I mean,
I didn't say it was a great
movie. Yeah, you may like it. I mean, I like this movie. You know, I think TV shows do a good job of doing team stuff.
The Gifted?
Not The Gifted, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. So, because we're not going to go through point by point. Let's point out stuff that I think is just interesting to us and get our thoughts back and forth on.
So you've read the Dark Phoenix saga, we're all familiar with it because they've done the storyline already.
Yeah, animated series.
The animated series.
You know, movies do that. You know, at some points, the Spider-Man movies, someone's going to go, well, wait, where's Norman Osborn? It's like, no, there's like millions, but they're going to because they go back to the tropes, and when X-Men eventually show back up in the Marvel Universe. Magneto's coming along too because that's how it's done, you know,
That's fine, and I'm okay. It's like you did a whole movie based on a storyline that we've already.
Well, they didn't do a whole movie. They took a movie called The Last Stand, and they brought in the idea of the cure. They brought in the idea of mutant rights and Dark Phoenix. It was just one segment of a very messed up movie. Mm-hmm. And this one was trying to, again, it's tricky, and the book does it right. The book has the opportunity to go like, listen, we're going to tell the Dark Phoenix story, but each character is going to have a point to it. You know, Beast is going to have a point. Angel is going to have a point. You know, all these characters have a moment in them. And the movies, you know, they tend to dismiss certain characters. Well, just, you know, gone. We don't need you on here. And that's what hurts them sometimes. Like I said, we get to look at this movie through the context of it's been out for a couple weeks, and it's made $16 at the theater of today.
I had to split my revenue with Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's made $60.5 million today and $173 million, so it's looking at $234 million. If it makes $250 million worldwide, that'd be a shock. So it's a major loss, money-wise. Major loss. It's going to lose $100, $200 million just with marketing. What I find interesting, though, is now that the press part is done, like if we'd done this podcast right away, we'd have to do another one just explaining all of this other stuff that we've been hearing about. Like they've kind of come out, Simon Kinberg, the director, who was a writer up to this point.
It's his first movie.
He directed all the scenes in Apocalypse when Bryan Singer was too busy making a better human of himself for the world, and he would leave the set. So that, you know, so he has had experience with it. But
I was dripping with sarcasm. I love it.
Yeah. So hearing what the original storyline was, Like the alien race that Jessica Chastain's character kind of represents, they're called Dabari, which is an alien race from the comics, which is actually an alien race that is the planet that when Jean Grey the Phoenix becomes Dark Phoenix, she absorbs a sun, the Phoenix entity does. And it turns out it was never her, by the way. That's a spoiler for 30 years ago. It absorbs the sun or causes it to flare and destroys the Dabari's planet. So there is a reason that they use them in this. The Dabari don't have a shape-shifting ability the way these creatures do. Do you know of any alien races in the Marvel Universe that have a shape? That maybe through extra dubbing were changed that. And the fact that she might not have actually been... She might have even been, if not a Skrull, Elandria from the Shi'ar Empire. But I'm not sure. They changed so much about this, including the entire ending sequence, which... Actually, I think worked out really great. I'll throw out a positive right now because I'll keep forgetting it. The action sequences in this movie.
Yes.
And we're talking about the ending train sequence to the most part. It's like, oh, why would you want to do it on a train and do all this? Like, no, they did it right.
They did.
He didn't direct it.
I don't appreciate the nighttime, all the nighttime stuff. Come on.
Well, yeah, you were at an outdoor. But a second unit director. That's true. Exactly. Like, what the hell's going on? Yeah. And my favorite outdoor story is when I went and saw the Pirates of the Caribbean at the outdoor the first time, and I was like, you know, it's dark, but it's not that dark. I'm like, wow, that was a great movie. I can't wait to see it on home video in 3 months. When I get to see the other half of the movie, I couldn't see it because every time they went to a night scene, I couldn't see it.
They showed the Game of Thrones episode up there. I couldn't see anything at all. It was just a black screen the whole time.
Okay.
Didn't you see the movie Twister at the drive-in? I think I did or something.
No.
They have that little scene in the movie where Twister comes through and destroys the drive-in.
It's a great scene, yeah.
And you're at the drive-in watching
it. That wasn't me. I don't think it was. I saw it at Fox Lake Theater. All right, we're getting off topic.
We're talking about Twister.
So Twister, guys, what'd you think?
Well, speaking of movies in the 90s, this movie takes place in the 90s, which also Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s. We're talking about the Skrulls.
They talked about the ending of this movie was supposedly a space battle, which was more Captain Marvel-ish, so they had to change that. Regardless, I thought the actual action at the end was really well done. Supposedly, Kinberg didn't even direct it. It was a second unit director who was doing it all, so that guy's got some props.
Mm-hmm. A couple of red shirt villains that they killed off.
Okay, so those red shirt villains. And I will show you who they are because...
Also mention of, speaking of people, Dazzler was in this for...
Dazzler was fantastic. There's a nice little cameo.
Yeah.
Also, we see some kids running to go to her party. We see a portal open up. People speculate that was Blink opening the portal there for her to come running through.
From The Gifted?
Yes, from The Gifted as well as from the other movie. One of the two guys was named Ariki, whatever. He's the guy with the hair-whipping henchman. And he's an original character... because they didn't have any new ones to do there.
Nope.
And it didn't care for him. And then the other one, the other girl...
The mind reader.
...was Celine, but not Celine. Celine in the comics is this vampire old mutant who's the Black Queen of the Hellfire Club. Fantastic character. One of the first... When I started reading X-Men, she was, like, awesome. She is Celine in name only. But whatever.
Because they couldn't get any other names. There's not enough names out there in the world to choose from.
No, they change. They change things as they want.
Stop it. Stop. Stop. Yeah. I hate when they do that.
I did not enjoy... One of the things I did like about Apocalypse was the very end scene where they were all in their cool uniforms. And then in this one, they're just back to the silly X uniforms. I didn't
They didn't have
any uniforms. Magneto puts on his black helmet because it's black now, and that's it. And then, you know, Beast is running around in his outclothes and everything. I'm like, costumes.
When Marvel starts taking this over, because Marvel is well aware of going, let's just put him in the outfits. Just put him in the outfits. I mean, the Netflix shows are an example of maybe not doing that right. I mean, the Daredevil looks great. Yeah. The movies do.
It always depends on the creative. It's bad creators and people who don't know how to do the job. And that's all it comes down to. I mean, they can say, well, why don't you do it? I'm like, all right, give me the money. I'll do it.
Yeah, right. A couple other characters I really enjoyed this film. We get Nightcrawler again in these movies, which is, I thought he was great.
He did go out of character a little bit, but I was okay with it.
When he rage killed?
Yeah, but I was okay. I liked him.
But Nightcrawler is one of the most fascinating X-Men, I think.
They really used his power as well.
They did. Storm, I thought Storm.
She didn't have any development in her storyline, but they never did.
I liked it though. I don't need a Storm story. Like Storm's never one of those characters.
Psylocke was supposed to be in this at one point, and she was the one who was one of the few who was comic accurate in the last movie.
Yeah,
but she was not involved in this one because it was back when it was two films kind of scenario.
Could have used Colossus in this. That would have been nice. I know he's in the Deadpool movie.
Anything from the Deadpool movie
would have been nice. The fact that they appeared in the Deadpool movie would have been nice to give a little flip and have them show up in this movie. I think I love James McAvoy.
McAvoy. Both of them are good.
I think he's great as Professor X. Michael Fassbender is fantastic as Magneto.
Yes. And
there's a lot I like about this.
I guess I was disappointed overall, but not for what some people think are obvious reasons. I thought that even though I didn't care about Mystique, I loved when Magneto was like, whose blood is that?
Yeah.
That was like, all of a sudden, like Beast's relationship with Mystique never felt right, never really worked. I never bought it. But Magneto's relationship with her, I did. And so when he finds out, I was like, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I loved it. Also, even though you might say he not had a lot to do, Cyclops was awesome through this whole movie when he was used.
He dropped the F-bomb too. That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was funny. Debbie made the comment when we were watching it. She's like, oh, that's the kid from Ready Player One. You know where he wears the visor all the time? That's why she could recognize his face, because he looks like Cyclops in Ready Player One.
The visor is so... I love it and I hate it. Because like you want to be able to see like any sort of emotion, but I'm like, I'm so happy they kept that visor on his head. I don't mind the glasses when they would do the sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens in the books, too.
He didn't do that in this movie. It was just visor. I love when they're in the ship, too, and he uses his visor, and they like magnify it.
Well, yeah, through the gun. He's the gun. I was fine with all that.
I was, too. I think...
Here's the
Cyclops
thing.
Cyclops is great.
Here's another
thing. I missed having Wolverine as a part of that weird love triangle.
It's kind of like, and here's why I don't, because it's the same problem with people when they talk about Suicide Squad. They're like, why isn't there more Joker? It's like, hey, Joker's a very powerful character, and he dominates, but it's just a tease because it's really about the Suicide Squad. So I was, that's why, yes. And that's why in this movie I was like, well, give an opportunity for other people besides Wolverine. Just like First Class. Right. First Class didn't have Wolverine other than for the F-bomb scene, and the movie's probably my favorite X-Men movie. Which is weird. But think about that. That's my, and I love it because that's the director also. He did such a great job.
Well, let's establish, though, the greatest X-Men scene of all time is X-Men 2 when Nightcrawler's going through the White House.
Yeah, of course.
That scene is amazing.
Well, that one and the two Quicksilver scenes.
Yeah.
The time of the bottle sequence when he's doing that running. Oh, my God, the music. And they both are music
that's
action
sequences. That's
why I'm
so sequences. Shocked. I would love to hear something about why that actor wasn't in the movie more. And the nerfing of him is one explanation, but... The actor, probably. I don't know if he's busy doing something else.
He's on America Horror Story and something else.
Because like that's a very popular character to just give up, and that's fine, I guess. I remember having this conversation about like the actor who plays Beast. Like he was doing
Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, he's doing other stuff, and like he's gonna be big. He's gonna be a big name, like Jennifer Lawrence. And
well, he did. He's done a lot of stuff.
He's done a lot of stuff, but he never
that. He was James in the Beanstalk movie. He was a star of that. Which didn't do great.
He
was the star
like
of that
Lawrence did.
Of the zombie love story comedy.
Yep.
He keeps making movies, but he didn't pop as big as the other three did.
Yes. Well, the other James McAvoy was pretty big before he did these movies as well.
He was in Wanted. He wasn't. Fassbender was bigger than all of them.
Well, Fassbender is still. Well, Jennifer Lawrence, yeah, I guess she's the big one. But
oh yeah, she popped.
Well, she wasn't even going to do this movie, but then she had a change of heart. And she's like, "I'll do it."
There's all these stories. About the fact that, of course, it's always weird. The director's like, she said she wouldn't come back unless I directed it. Oh, really? So you're so good that, Jennifer Lawrence only come back if I directed it. Keep telling me that story. Maybe Jennifer. I mean, sure, you're friends and everything. She probably appreciated the heck out of the fact that you came in and salvaged as much of the apocalypse as you could. But, this guy cannot. I shouldn't say that. I was going to say cannot direct again, but it's like he needs to go low budget, create something else.
There's some good stuff.
I always get frustrated. Like all the people involved with this. It's like, you're done with the X-Men movies. Go. You're done. You can't. I don't want. No more touching it. Get away. You did it. You let somebody else do it now. Don't, like, oh, I want an executive producer credit on this. Like, no, get your name off of it. Go away.
I agree. Well, someone's going to keep their executive. That one woman, she gets to keep it on there even after Marvel.
That's not true about everything.
I hear what you're saying.
You're saying they get to do that? And it's like, well, it's written. It's like, tell that to Harvey Weinstein, who's getting his name taken off of everything, even though he's under contract. I'm saying contracts can get undone, and you don't get paid.
I'm sure there's something in the contract about breach of etiquette and things like that.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. All right, so I'm looking online stuff. Like, for example, Beast becoming the new leader of the X-Men there. It was interesting. Like, Beast has flip-flopped all over these movies. I'm good guy, bad guy. It's like
he's been in a lot of these movies too.
Well, the funny
thing
is,
it's amazing that Beast, the character, like he's not one of, like I like Beast, but like he's like one of the main characters.
He's been in five of them.
Even though he's not,
he's
like,
been in
one
six if you count the Deadpool
but,
2 cameo. A lot of people are like, that counts.
I count it. That's one of the best cameos in all of superhero movies. That cameo is amazing.
The thing that bothers a lot of people that I've been learned to let go just recently is the whole time thing. The fact that first movie's in the 60s, second movie's in the 70s, then the 80s, and this is the 90s. And so everybody says, like, they haven't aged, and that means that McAvoy is going to turn into Patrick Stewart in, like, 8 years. So something really bad's going to happen to the professor because he's going to age really bad. I thought about that, too. And then I finally took this approach. Tell me if I'm wrong or if this makes sense. It's like, I'm reading the books, and the X-Men are in the 70s, and they are in the 80s, and they are in the 90s, and they are in the 2000s, and they're not aging there, and I'm okay with it. I don't want an old Colossus in his 60s fighting in the 2000s. I want the prime. So I guess if I'm okay with that, then I should be okay with this too. You should.
You're absolutely right. The difference here is in the comics, they don't age. In the movies, the actors that play the characters age. So they did age a little bit.
No, then they took their age down. Now they got younger actors.
Even the younger actors.
James Bond was still age.
James Bond
fought the Soviets. Soviets don't exist anymore. So I accept that.
I'm okay with it. That age thing never bothered me. But now I think about it, Deadpool 2 takes place in current time, right? And we look into that room, and it's the X-Men.
But that's a different universe where they age differently, because it's all about the multiverse. Nobody said that they're all the same. We've never dealt with the multiverse in the X-Men world. We're dealing with it now.
Well,
Wolverine comes from a different timeline.
We have that has not,
in this, and the Logan timeline is a different timeline.
The Fox movies is what we're talking about.
They're all Disney now.
But that so none of those all it takes none of those actors of, are going to come back.
All it takes maybe is Ryan for when one of these other Marvel movies down the road has Deadpool show up, he's going to say, hey, I'm in another universe, or whatever it's going to happen.
Sure, and that's fine. I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm living in a world where it's just Fox. Like, I'm just asking you, though, in Deadpool 2.
Professor X comes back
as the leader at some point and kicks Beast out, and like, Beast, you're no longer the leader because it's now the current day, and that's 30 years later.
Yeah, well, again, I don't remember any place in Deadpool where they said it was 2018.
I think they have things technology.
It's a world where these things live, and they don't live in our world.
Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, so it doesn't technically exist. We're talking about movies too, by the way. That's terrible.
Yeah. So yeah, Simon Kinberg, just reading an article upon article, and he's pretty much he's still attached somehow to New Mutants, which is supposed to come out April next year.
Sure it is.
After this one, they're not gonna put any more money into that. That's gonna be on Disney
Plus.
It's
so funny, like, you would think that because of the success of Deadpool and Logan, which were extremely successful and critically so, you think they would have went a little more. I guess it was a dark movie, but you would think they would have went more. You could go pretty dark on these X-Men movies if you really wanted to. I don't know what
Deadpool
you would
wasn't dark. Dark Deadpool as comedy, comedy.
I'm sorry, dark as in dark humor, adult humor. They're much more adult.
Yeah, but it's like any property. People and the money people up there look like, nope. You know what? Even though, Mickey Mouse is in the same universe.
Yeah, we've had
that
conversation with Logan though, but Logan pulled in a ton of money and like, oh, an R-rated X-Men movie did great. I guess
fine. Logan pulled in a ton of money for an R-rated film. Mm-hmm. He didn't pull in a ton of money like this is one of the biggest movies of all time. It was like, wow, he made a lot of money for an R-rated movie. I bet you if Logan had been, PG, he might have done just as well, maybe more.
I bet you Logan's going to do better in the end than this X-Men Dark Phoenix is going to do.
So does that make Dark Phoenix better, the fact that, you wanted Logan in this one, but the fact that his story came to an ending, it seems more just that way.
Well, that being said, one of my problems with Logan was that Days of Future Past brought that to an ending, and then they bring back Professor X, Patrick Stewart, as Professor X again, and then he doesn't get his ending anymore. He gets a different ending because now Logan is continuing on. So they've done that before.
I'm not going to get deep into this, but in Logan, they make reference to dates in past that don't coincide with what happens in Dark Phoenix. With Days of Future Past, which means they are separate universes.
Yeah, they're just different stories.
They should just put a little front at the back saying this is an Elseworld story, this is a multiverse story, because that's what the comics do. Comics kill characters off all the time in stories that are called fantasy stories. They're not real.
not like the real ones.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's real. Everything's real.
I know it.
I'm caught up on Walking Dead. It's all real.
Caught up on the book?
I am.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. There was a lot of scenes in the trailer that were not in the movie, and that had to do with the fact that they did that massive amount of reshoots. Although I heard the reshoots weren't as big as they thought, as what we're speculating. There was a sequence where the Vux character, that's the name for Jessica.
God bless you.
Yeah, exactly. She's in a church. There's a scene where Beast is mourning at the grave, but he's not in his Beast look. There's a scene in the trailer, if you remember, when Magneto, when Jean goes to meet him on Genosha, and she goes, he's like, you didn't come here looking for answers. You came here looking for permission. And that never happened. That relationship. Remember the scene also when she was remember the first trailer we saw where she's like crying in the alleyway and she's talking. Mm-hmm. She's like, why did you make me do that? Why? She was my friend. It's like, who are you talking to? This is not somebody in the movie. who is this person you're talking? Is this a voice she's hearing? We don't see any of that. There's a whole sequence at the United Nations. There was a big battle scene that some of the footage showed up with Cyclops. There is there's a sequence where Cyclops and Professor X are yelling at each other, not in the movie. The X-Men mansion was in ruins. That whole scene where the Brotherhood all come together with Nightcrawler and Storm and Beast, which I don't think even Nightcrawler and Storm were part of that.
I also
seen of them together.
Speaking of those characters, I love the scene after they, you know, they go into space and they come down, they've saved everything, and all the blue mutants walk out. Nightcrawler, Beast, and Mystique, they're all blue. Mutants only come in blue.
Well, you know, it depends on the color in the comics. That's why the Hulk was green. Pops mm-hmm. the color. All right.
I wish they would have done
it. I like the last, I mean, this was the last movie that we'll probably see an X on the Fox logo. It's like, oh, there it is.
Nice. I wish Nightcrawler would have talked about his grandfather, father, anything like that. Not even related at all from X-Men First Class.
So we're not going to mention the fact that Nightcrawler's mom is Mystique. No, that's a lot more relevant.
Well, that's true. But you know what I'm saying? Like, at least in this Marvel Cinematic Universe. Azazel, yeah. They didn't. I wish they would have any sort of comment. You know, I love that kind of stuff when they just mention something from people. Like, yeah, just throw it in there as a comment.
Here's an idea. Maybe have Quicksilver mention something about Magneto being his father that they hinted at in the last film and then they never went any farther with.
Yeah, no.
Because then all of a sudden that becomes the focus of the story, and that's the story they wanted to tell.
That's the problem. We talked about this in the previous ones. One of the biggest problems with this is there's no overarching looking down at the X-Men. It's just piecemeal. They just put pieces together, and hopefully it works, and it's failed. It's failed a bunch of times for them. Unlike the Marvel Universe, where you have a top-down approach, where that's why when you get something like Endgame, it's so sad.
Well, Kevin Feige worked on these X-Men films when he was in a lower mm-hmm. tier, so he got to see what worked and what didn't, and he's finally gotten a position where he could actually make that happen. It's rare. You know, it's rare that you're going to have somebody.
Extremely
that,
rare. You know, it's only been done once, and it's called.
Well, I mean, you can look at people, or even just Walt Disney himself. You were in a position of power, and you get to be able to do that. So that's where he's at. You know, as long as he's successful, you know, two bad films. People pull stuff away. Money people say, no, you're done. You know, unless you're George Lucas. And even then, you sold it.
Yeah,
there's enough to enjoy in this film. There, you have to give up on, you know, what it is it's the connectivity that they set at the end of these movies and where they happen. And then they just go into the next movie and they say, don't worry about that. It's like, well, then why did you do any of that? I mean, there's better ways to write around this stuff that they chose not to do, that the Marvel movies do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why, you know, Disney bought out Fox. If those Fox movies had been better, Fox might have bought Disney.
Exactly.
And then they would have been incorporated into the Fox universe.
I don't think Fox would have ever bought Disney. But.
Oh, I think it was happening. I think we'd see all Captain America in this universe. Would be incredible.
But we're going to get the X-Men at some point. Mm-hmm. We're going to get them in the universe, and it's going to be great, Jerry.
Yes, all right. Anything else that you want to specifically talk about in this movie that you did or didn't like or blew you away?
No, I mean, we pretty much touched on everything. I love the fight sequence outside her dad's house. I thought that fight sequence was great. That's when they knock out Quicksilver. That's when Mystique dies. But, like, the look of it, the way things exploded, the way she flies.
Yes, the flying
all
is really cool. There's
some
choices made in the storyline that don't work, but once the action mm-hmm. happens, it works good.
When she's battling Magneto with the helicopter, awesome stuff.
When she's crunching his head.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Chris, she makes the statement. She goes, that's not how you kill somebody. Let me show you how. And then she doesn't kill him.
No.
Although she did push a bunch of metal into him that he seemed to be fine with later on when they're on the train all together. That train sequence, again, I'm okay with the train sequence, but continuity-wise, it felt like, everybody get back here. We're going to put you on a train. Just, you know, like, they're like, wasn't my character killed in the last scene? Like, no, you're fine. We're all chained together. And for some reason, these are magic bracelets that are going to stop certain people, like the master of magnetism.
They should have the neck collars on. Are those not around yet?
I can't remember.
I don't know either.
I loved when the bad guys would come, like, landing. They've really figured out how to make gravity work with flying. Remember, like, early movies, they go, hang on to something, I'm going to fly. And then it's like, Peter Pan cables would take them up a little bit. Now they feel like they've got real weight.
Most things feel that way.
Yes, but
some ones that I go, ooh.
Obviously there's still some, but we're now seeing enough of it. They're like, oh no, this is all good. She's flying, he's flying. Remember Heroes when the first time Nathan Petrelli took off and shot up, and then we were like, well, this is going to be the greatest show ever. I'm sure they'll never wreck this.
Remember season two, and we're like, oh, season one was so good. And then season three happened, and we're like, yeah, season two wasn't bad.
Oh, man. I think if that show had kept going, we'd be going.
The show kept going.
Maybe season 11 was Heroes not as Reborn. Bad as we thought. Oh, I know.
They came out with it like 5 years ago.
All right, we'll never get this done. So that's the end of Dark Phoenix. If you have a different opinion or want to talk to us about it, please get in touch with us, and we'd love to hear you. And that was the last Phoenix, the last Fox film we'll do, unless New Mutants actually does come out. The next time we'll be talking about the X-Men will be in 2026 when they finally launch that movie series.
Or if we do Legion Season 3.
We're not doing Legion Season 3. I got to go home and make sure I recorded it.
Oh, it started up already?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jeepers.
Yeah, Jeepers? Yeah,
I said Jeepers, that's right.
Yeah, it started up this week. It started up on Monday or something like that.
I don't have FX.
I know. All right. I hope you at home have FX, because that's the only thing you should take away from this podcast, is it's time to get the station FX. And until then, I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.